Come, follow me.
We follow Christ in his church, the church's four hallmarks: one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And we follow the one Christ. In the second reading, St. Paul is reminding them of that. You're not following Paul, not following Apollos. Kephas means Peter. We are for Christ. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, Father, me baptized my child. It wasn't Father Lee, it was Christ. Christ baptized your child. Oh, Father Murphy heard my confession. Father Murphy's never forgiven anyone in confession. Christ forgives in confession. Oh, Father Heffernan married us. Father Heffernan has married nobody. You married each other. We are instruments of God's sacramental power. We don't do what the grace signifies. Christ does it. He uses our hands and our voice, but he is the one who conveys grace, the one who makes us holy. And that's the purpose of the church, to make us saints. Every citizen in heaven is a saint, and that's where we want to be. And the only tragedy and travesty in this world is to fail to make the grade, to fail to achieve our goal, our destiny, heaven. So the church is one, holy, to make us saints, Catholic, open to all, universal, and the theme of this weekend, apostolic. It's apostolic in two senses, firstly historically, secondly as a missionary body. The church was built upon the apostles. Christ never gave us a Bible. He gave us a church made up of 12 apostles. The word apostle means to be sent. He sent them all out as bishops to proclaim his gospel, the truths of salvation. The 27 books of the Bible had not yet been written, and the Bible is a Catholic book written by Catholics for Catholics. But it's not the foundation. Christ is the foundation, and the means of truth comes from his church, of which in time some things would be written down, and that became known as the New Testament. So the church began by the proclamation of the word manifested by persons. That's our roots. And only one Christian church on earth makes that claim to be founded by Christ, and that's the Catholic Church. We are apostolic in foundation. Scientifically speaking, the remains of Peter have been found under the Basilica of St. Peter's in Rome, and that of St. Paul under his basilica. So we can see both of these apostles lived and died in Rome, and the church has been built upon them. The church is also apostolic still today. We're called to be fishers of men, to bring people out of darkness, of ignorance and error, into light. And light here means truth, the truths of salvation. I was pleased to see in the Australian this weekend, in its magazine, that a new book has been written about Evelyn Waugh. Now, Evelyn Waugh, last century, was perhaps the greatest English writer. His prose is exceptional. And he was a convert to the Catholic faith. He converted as a young man in his late 20s. He became a most ardent Catholic. And has left us a legacy of apostolic books, written in a rather subtle manner. Perhaps you know the book that became a BBC series. The series wasn't as popular, well, accurate, according to the book, Brides Head Revisited. The book is exceptional. It's a good story, it's a novel, but there's a very strong Catholic theme in there, that people drifting away from the faith, but then coming back, always remembering where they ought to be. It's one thing how we live, it's another thing how we die. And Evelyn Waugh died a good and holy Catholic death, along with other great English converts, G.K. Chesterton, who became a Catholic so he could go to confession. What church wouldn't have a way of wiping away our sins after baptism? And of course, who can forget Cardinal Newman, a great English scholar, who in leaving the Anglican Church lost many friends, but that's the price you pay, to find the fullness of God's truth. The other day I was talking about God's truth to a young woman in her 30s, not baptised and not married. And we're talking about salvation, grace and all these issues. And as we're walking through the mall, I was explaining the difference between redemption and salvation. All have been redeemed. Every sin has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus on Calvary. But not everyone will be saved. He says, how do you make sense of that? And I said, look, we're in this mall. There's free Wi-Fi here. You can't see the Wi-Fi. It's not popping into your phone like little things. It's electronic. It's happening. It's there. But you have to do something to get that power, don't you? To get that access. Yeah, you've got to log on. You've got to connect. And I said, so too with grace. Grace is out there. Redemptions have happened, but unless you connect to Christ, you can't download His grace. The grace of baptism, and then the grace to live a good and holy life, and to keep God's commandments. So, redemption leads to salvation, and we're all working at our salvation. We went on talking, and she said, oh yes, okay, fine, so we have to become a Christian, but you Christians, there's so many churches. Which would be the true church? Which would be the church that you say would be the best? And, you know, you probably put down others, thinking, oh, well, Baptists aren't as good as mine. She said, I know some very good Anglicans. I said, so do I. No, I know some very good Lutherans. It's not the Lutheran versus the Anglican, the Baptist versus the Catholic. We're not talking here about its members. We're all sinners, and there's some very holy people in other churches. We're not talking about the members of the church, but the church itself. We're not talking about the people in the boat, but the boat, where does it come from? And only the Catholic Church can claim to be founded, as I said, by Christ. And she went on to talk about other things and eventually got back to churches and issues. And we're outside by this stage, and I was looking up a big plane tree, massive tree, big trunk. And I said, that's a good example of what's happened to the Catholic Church or the Christian Church. It's founded on Christ. It draws strength from Christ. And the trunk is the church growing over 1,000 years. One Pope. One Bible, one church, one set of seven sacraments. For 1,000 years, there's only one version of being a Christian until a break. And like a big branch coming off the trunk, the break was called the Eastern Schism. The East, for political reasons, left the Catholic Church. And that gave rise to the Russian Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church. All these Eastern churches happened then. Tragic moment in history. And then, of course, 500 years after that, we have the Western Schism, the breaking of, once again, these branches coming off the trunk. And that gave rise to the Protestant Reformation. I said the word Protestant tells you everything. They protested against the Church of Rome. They protested against the Catholic Church, and in doing so, left. We know the Anglican Church was set up by King Henry VIII, who was a Catholic king, a very good king. But he wanted more than one wife. He couldn't change the church's teaching, so he changed the church. And of course, the Lutherans come from a priest, a Catholic priest, an Augustinian called Martin Luther, who found certain things in the church he didn't like. So rather than throwing out the water of the bath, and Charlotte in the bath, he threw out the child with the water and set up his own church. And from those churches came all the other Protestant churches. And over the last 1,000 years, or sorry, 100 years, we've seen a plethora. Every year, hundreds of new Christian churches start up. We've seen some here in Albury, all claiming to have the recipe of salvation. And they all have certain elements of truth. Just like a branch belongs to the tree, it's got certain elements of truth, but it's thinner than the trunk. It doesn't have the fullness of the truth that Christ gave to his church. So they all are Christian, we all believe certain things, but certain churches don't have all that they ought to have, including all of the seven sacraments. And that makes sense for her. She could see the tree, she could see the picture, it all pulled together. And she said, I'll think about that, Father, and we left. So the seed was sown. And we are called to sow seeds by the example of our life, firstly. Secondly, by challenging people to think. Everyone on earth, especially after the horrific act in Melbourne during the week, is asking the question, why am I here? What is the meaning to life? How can I achieve happiness? That's the question begging within, and we have the answer without. We need to unpack it carefully, but also to provide examples of great people heroes who are still living that have come into the Catholic Church from without and asked the question why. Scott Hahn in America, Jerry Mavrikic, Jeff Cadens, all of these great Bible scholars are now Catholics and very enthusiastic regarding our faith. And during the week, a talk is being given by an ex-Pentecostal preacher, Ulf Ekman. His name's on the bulletin later on in the morning as you're having your cappuccino or whatever you're doing late in the morning. Google Ulf Ekman. You probably won't go down to Shepparton to hear his talk, but you'll gain enough from the YouTube clips on him to realise when he converted to the Catholic Church in 2014 with his wife, he lost a lot. He had the largest church in Sweden, and the church was tens of thousands, sending out missionaries far and wide. Filled with the love of God, a full-on Pentecostal Christian, his eyes were open. He realised he was looking at a branch. He wanted the trunk. He wanted the fullness of God's truth. He became a Catholic. What led him into the church? One book, the Catholic Catechism. He read it and was convinced this must be the true church. Now, the church has only put out two catechisms. This is the second, came out in 1983. I don't know whether you've read the whole thing, but one thing that is utterly convincing is the church is so steeped, so imbued with scripture and the love of the Bible. He was a Bible Pentecostal charismatic leader, but he read that book and realizing this church loves the Bible more so than I do, he found the true church. He's come out of the shadows into the fullness of life, and in doing so lost part of his congregation, again a father in heaven and a mother on earth, the Catholic Church. We encourage him and people like him to come out and give their stories, to encourage us who perhaps are cradle Catholics and can lose our zeal and enthusiasm for the great gifts we've been given. So in looking at other people, do we realise how blessed we truly are to have the fullness of faith, to belong in the light of Christ, and to not walk in the shadows of ignorance and error. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.